was a time when I believed that you belonged to me. But now I know your heart is shackled to a memory. The more I learn to care for you, the more we drift apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold?
Good morning and welcome. My name is August Waters, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Monadnock Summer Lyceum with today's guest speaker, Bill Banfield. For many years, the Monadnock Summer Lyceum has been bringing outstanding world-class speakers to the Monadnock region to serve as a catalyst to inform, engage, and inspire an active citizenry on local, national, and global issues. As many of you know, the Monadnock Summer Lyceum programs are recorded for New Hampshire Public Radio. Today's talk may be heard on NHPR in 2 weeks on Sunday evening at 9 p.m. The talk will also be available on our website, monadnocklyceum.org, as a podcast within a few days. After the presentation, in keeping with Lyceum tradition, the speaker has agreed to answer questions from the audience. The ushers will be collecting your questions toward the end of the talk. Please write them on the cards to be found in the pews. Following the program, we invite you to attend an informal reception in the parish hall, which is through the door to your left. The format will be a little bit different today. A free concert will follow that short reception, featuring Bill Banfield's Jazz Urbane. The Monadnock Summer Lyceum is supported entirely through contributions from our audience members. We deeply appreciate your donations, which may be placed in the glass bowls in the church and in the parish hall. Thank you for your generous support. Please do turn off your cell phones and pagers at this time. Our speaker today is Dr. William C. Banfield. He holds the title of Professor of Africana Studies, Music and Society at Boston's Berklee College of Music. Dr. Banfield is a composer deeply versed in both jazz and classical idioms, as well as a renowned guitarist, recording artist, music historian, and cultural critic. He holds a Master of Theological Studies from Boston University, as well as a Doctor of Musical Arts in Composition from the University of Michigan. His awards and achievements are far too numerous to mention here today, but it's safe to say that his contributions as a composer, as a performer, or as a scholar would be very impressive were he only one of those. Dr. Banfield's 2009 book, Cultural Codes, Makings of a Black Music Philosophy, outlines a framework for understanding the traditions, the development, the innovators, and the relevance of African-American music. Dr. Banfield helps us to understand Black music traditions both in terms of their development in America and their global impact. As a teacher, Dr. Banfield communicates the importance of understanding the cultural context from which our music, American music, emerged. To quote Bill Banfield, "You can't know where you are going unless you know where you are and where you came from. When you put those three things together, you have the best formula for making a successful impact on your craft and on the world of music." Please join me today in welcoming Bill Banfield.
Good morning. Good morning, New Hampshire. Good morning, New Hampshire. I know this is the world too, but we got to start with the local and we'll move to the national and the international. So good morning, New Hampshire. Good to see you all. You look beautiful this morning. just lovely to see all these beautiful faces, and it's so such a lovely drive up. And my wife and I came up yesterday, and then this incredible group of musicians that you'll meet in a moment who are fabulous. So we'll get a chance to meet and all hear all of them. And we all are very honored and privileged to be in your presence and in your beautiful town and in your glorious state. People get excited, drawn in from the feeling it music gives. They are looking for an experience. That's the draw card. They want to experience their humanness, and music provides the output. I've been very excited and have been knowing about this place in this great series for some time. And of course, the McDowell Colony, who that's not very far. And I've been excited to be here. This is my new serenity spot for sure. It's very, very lovely. Very excited to be here. And I really thank my dear colleagues, August and Nancy, and the incredible committee here for inviting us here today. I was very moved by something that a recent speaker of yours said in the series, and I very much love this idea that you have as one of your themes, to inform, to engage, and to inspire, and that's certainly what we hope to do today. But Dr. Marquet, who you had here recently, said this. He said, our casual response to perverse incentives like money, job advances, being famous, are indications that things are bad. Or the common saying, but it was not our place to speak up. It's not my role. But picking up trash in a park or a public sidewalk with no one looking as if it's your trash is an example of citizen response excellence. Culture is the defining aspect that conditions how people respond. To be sure that I began correctly, I quoted my wife because I really do strive to discover and to live in that spray about happy life, happy wife, which means you have to listen and hear. And what I hear from her words is the essentially most important element in being a culture and cultural carrier and artist within society. And that is that art draws people in because of the feeling it gives. And that they are looking for an experience that centers them in their humanness, and music provides the meaningful connection. People are genuinely interested in what this means to creative people as well, and what that tells them about the process of creativity. That's what I hope and what we hope to share today, that to give us some snapshots of how we musicians think about our creative work in today's society, what that means, and the implications of our artistry over time. Jean Cocteau wrote that music was not a pastime, but a priesthood. So there's been a ton of talk about what the value of art is beyond just what the sound or the feel of it is, but also what it should represent, what it does, and what it means within human history. These are questions of phenomenology, aesthetics, historical significance, and cultural markers. And all my moves forward, as many of us are here today, now are predicated on this idea that our culture must be reconditioned, and that arts education is a powerful tool and an indicator of the possibilities of motion forward. Everything I value and see forward and relevant today for me is predicated on this charge, as it were. My concern is that much of the megacultural infrastructure right now is dialed up on a prescription for talented people to be cute and entertaining for 5 famous minutes and making money to do something. So the model is duplication, replication, cut and paste, push the button, fast button results. And yet innovation, developing your unique voice, and the integrity of art and reflection have little sway in the swag of the day. I don't think music and arts, friends, will change the world, but I must confess, I believe in it. Margaret Mead, American anthropologist, said it this way, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." The key to historical social preservation is to lift up and to aspire. And arts and culture does this very well.
These narratives, these songs provide images, ideas, ideal ingredients for spiritual sustainability that is inspiring, meaningful, and ultimately life-changing. Now, I will say that I'm from Detroit, which I'll talk a little bit about later, and I will say also that in every culture, it's very important to move your body and celebrate life. So we are not Luddites up here, nor do we think that music is just a holy phenomena, but I want to focus today on that meaningful phenomena, which is experience and expression of life and the human condition. I think that the challenge is getting the right balance of these facts and figures, ideas, music to the right groups at the right way at the right time. It's all about a pedagogy of process, actually, and the ability to connect these ideas in a sustainable and meaningful way. So I'll talk a little bit about the pedagogy of musical purpose. And by the way, we will be listening to a lot of music today, so hold on. A pedagogy of musical purpose. History as culture, I'm taking in these years to be immersed in a dialogue with scholars, historians, artists, institutions, and the folk around engagement in history culture as a guide to direct our thinking, appreciation, and a model for addressing strategies and study methods with practical meaning and application. A goal is to concretize a working cover, an all aesthetic that undergirds teaching, creating, contributing, and sharing, and to document the culture. If you're going to live as an artist in this life, a significant part of that living is giving. For those of us that are in this group that you're going to see that are from all over the world, by the way, including the mighty Republic of the Mississippi, these guys and ladies are incredible musicians, and they are all educators. So they will be sharing with you all a little later. It's critical to have a set of ideals in play and instructional focus materials that arouse and put in place an aspirational excitement about musical meaning, aesthetics, affect, and social impact, and that make equally connectable things to what we mean by the definition of what great musicianship is. Today's young aspiring musician is getting a huge amount of information, impressions, and representations of the world from multiple varied sources in modern culture. This heightens our need to address the buried, functional, foundational, and to lift up for them the more sustainable defining characteristics of sound musicianship, focus, dedication, artistic values, worth, and purpose. The most important thing that we can do for young people today, besides being supportive of their goals in the arts, is our guidance in helping them to see past this current day corporate design, fabricated culture, and to imbue them with better models to check out and to explore and to learn from. This is critical and relevant because it raises up the value of arts forward. Traditional music education philosophy erred, as Paul G. Woodward noted in his Democracy in Music Education, because they, that is traditional educators, assumed all children everywhere should aspire to an attempt to uniformly replicate definitive expert performances of Western masterwork. And they failed, though, to develop the philosophical, cultural understandings, the teaching models, and the pedagogical strategies that would help them accomplish their democratic goals, thus being divorced from the real musical world and its our social problems, not adequately representing the nature, the value, and the purpose of music and arts education in contemporary democratic society. The appreciation and study of popular music carries in it a flowering effect of both artistic expression and contemporary social engagement at real human, social, cultural, political boundaries. Today, the majority of our concerns in the arts industry fields are focused on these contemporary themes, problems, and celebrations. Identity, very big in music. Representation, what you stand for, navigating being a digital native or an old school laborer. Which one are you? You're old school. I know it's not an old school, but there's a lot of new school people here too. And those are called the digital natives. And if you touch a screen or you push a button to get something, then you might just be, well, somebody calls you a digital native. Don't be insulted, okay? Technology's role in determining aesthetic force. There are some of us that feel drums in the room like those have a sound. And there are a lot of people who create that digitally. So we're in this world now of really trying to deal with how technology is really defining our aesthetic sensibilities. The ways art is being marketed. We do not all want to be or look like or walk like Britney Spears, Beyonce, or Justin Bieber. Sorry, I love them, but that's not the cultural formula we all want to follow. So cultural voice is very important. Corporate vice is very prevalent. We all know what that is. The downsizing and the downloading of musical product and the shrinking of musicians' artists' ability to commercially have a fair income of their artistic product is another big question. The question of the role of arts, popular culture, and the question of it being negative or positive on this generation's view of their world, and the role of today's musician in advocacy of social justice issues and economics. And of course, again, the economics of the recording entertainment field and the role of education in providing training for young people to be wholly prepared. These are all the things that we are all dealing with. Our practices in music and arts education must meet the demands and the needs of the world we live in ways that are practical, that connect, and are meaningful and relevant. Scholar artists talk about building on collaborative dialogues in arts, practice, and philosophy, methods, and creative expression to enhance and broaden education approaches and the creative programming. Business and community partnerships focused on music and society initiatives, and music's importance and impact today allows a bringing of their professional experience to meet these new challenges in music, arts, performance, education, media, digital environments, and increasing the need for more unified focus on progressive meaning, applications, and engagement in our world. So I know you all didn't expect us to talk about all those things in music, but that's what we deal with. We really do. We're really concerned about all these things, and we fuss, we fight, we celebrate these ideas as a way to figure out how. I like Ebony magazine and other magazines. They talk about taking the music back. It's like, we want, the people want, the artists want, the people who love music like you and I and arts, to take it back so that we own it again and could disseminate that out properly, because we know so many young people are in devastation right now, and arts and culture helps to pull some of the teeth out of that evil. And so we want our arts to be an important part of that process. Robin Kelly, dear friend and scholar, writes, "Social movements generate new knowledge, new theories, new questions. Concrete intellectual engagement for controlling systems of oppression. Progressive social movements, the best ones, do what great poetry does. It transports us to another place, compels us to relive horrors, and to make important, and most importantly, to enable us to imagine a new society." And that's from his Freedom Dreams, Radical Imagination, Robin D.G. Kelly. The earlier generations passed on and pushed an aspirational mindset to aspire beyond and toward a quality of life mode, hard work, accomplishment that buffered against disappointment, failure, and shut doors. The songs were high inspiration and prescriptive for living, and they were community value imbued. Song was a part of the social medicine. Do you all remember that?
I know you do. I know you do.
You go like this. Come on, everybody. Woo! Okay. I know you're listening and you're not asleep. Good, good, good. What's the name of this tune? Celebrate! Hey! Detroit. Detroit. guitar, by the way. We don't hear a lot of them today, huh?
Like that sunshine on a cloudy day.
I think you all, big music lovers and cultural lovers, get our point. Yes, there are substantive things that the creative world has to deal with. How we're going to live in the world that we live in. An inside educator's inside artist view. Artistic process, as part of the artist's journey, to grow then, is to grow then and shape the world that they live in. And this is an important study. That's the number one question people want to know. What is your process? And what do you believe about art creativity and what drew you into being an artist? What do you talk about? What do you do when you do what you do? As we saw in Dr. Marquet's idea of culture, is that it is the defining aspect that conditions how people respond. That is culture. That premise is what we want to underline. And okay, we want to glance forward a little bit, as we heard. We're going to look at a little more music. My feelings about history is pretty clear from earlier statements I made, that it is essential to arts education in this discussion, and that remains strong and firm in the themes we're going to talk about. This generation, unfortunately, and part of it is our fault too, eats and gets from their culture an ahistorical, quick in form, easy push-button, gadget player kind of life. A study of Woody Guthrie clears and cleans and repairs all that and prepares. He wrote on his guitar, this guitar kills what? Fascism or commercialism in the modern way. Music as an expression of our human condition and what that is from the inside story of artistry is in our history through to the present. And then what that means for what that could, how that could shape the world is critical for me and critical for our discussion today. This is a part of our focus, and just to look at and listen to some of this music together, and let's have a little fun while we explore and decode these conventional aesthetic puzzles. I say I'm not a historian, I'm a Forwardian. I think I made that word up, I think. Actually, I could have been very helpful to President Obama. I would have said, President Obama, invest in arts culture too. Then the country would be inner soul healthier and they'd be ready for all you're trying to do. No politics involved here. I do know I'm in New Hampshire, but you know. I wanted to learn about your political process here. I'm sure some of you good, politically astute folks, cultural folks, will pull me to a side and help me out after this talk. Arts carries cultural healing and awareness and humanness. It's one with education and one of our top investments to dedicate to, and for the long haul coverage too. I think too we want to raise up a few helpful themes to connect and ground us. So I want, since you all are writing, let's underline these. Cultural context, which August talked about. Aspirational charges, identity, revolutionary ideals. Theme one, cultural context. Everybody's defining aspect, that's with which helps to ground their experience, their lived condition, that mirrors to how we respond and live and is predicated on many cultural contextual expressions. Music in this way, as a human history marker, is worthy then of our listener. There isn't a person here, tone challenged or perfect pitched, who is not defined and recognizes music that happened significantly during their important growing times in their lives. That's not new breakthrough science, although I wish to have claimed the wisdom. It's just how we come to be shaped in modern American popular culture. Let's see. I'm going to play some music from periods, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. How about this one?
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. Bye.
given me. The memories are all in my mind, and now that we've come to the end.
Completely impossible to cut off. I did it because I'm a magician, but it's completely impossible to cut that off. I'll just say, when I play songs, and by the way, we're going to get to 2 Chainz and Biggie Smalls and everything you all really like. When I play these songs for young students, I tell them, first of all, you have to listen to the narrative of the song. You have to listen to the trajectory of the emotional line in the music, because you're meant to listen and get something out of it, because it has value. And then what's interesting in that Lionel Richie tune is there are actually 3 verses about this incredible person he loves. 3 full verses. That's a lot of poetry to talk about human experience, which is what song is supposed to do. Unfortunately, we don't listen to music that long anymore. Tune is called what? Oh, I know you all are Beyonce fans. It's called what again? Shining Star. You are Shining Star no matter what. Who you are, shining bright to be what? Shining bright to be what you can what? Truly be. Good, 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 good. We'll get to rap in a minute. I know you can't remember these old tunes. I know, I'm getting there. Now that is the greatest gift that art and music gives us sociologically. It can be a tremendous gift tool in connecting to others and an aid in understanding human experience and condition. For the artist, that is the single most valuable component of art expression, its capacity to capture significant human experiences and to give those back to the people. It's a humanity's high value quality. The Roosevelt social experiment in the 1930s, the New Deal, was connected to the value of arts collecting, archiving, and with putting artists to work. Because as the Markey quote points to, culture is the defining aspect that conditions how people respond and be and contribute to the world that they live in. Our social consciousness has been thwarted, though, and compromise as courage to speak meaning to power has been swapped out for political correctness. Today, the reasons for our escalating social insensitivity, I believe, and incivility, is because we ingest so many problematic images, messages, cultural practices in media, music, and manufacturing processes focused on market demands, prescriptions to make money. This corrupts deeply. As an artist, I always say, we must resist. As an artist, I always say, we must resist. We notice a frayed, disrupted central core value system that cannot sustain all the eruptions on the topsoil. My focus is much more narrow these days. I'm interested in work and ideas in art that lifts, inspires, heightens, and informs our human capacity to make a better world. We think we need a new song to sing. We need a new song to sing. And that kind of new song is the kind of songs or innovative art where ideas move people to change the world. Not a new idea, by the way. I'm not talking about anything that's, you know, brand new, or I don't espouse to be some well-thought and put thinker. I think musicians and artists, that's our common language. That's our common place to be. And people expect that to be the common place that music is. Unfortunately, we don't get to hear that message and that meaning in contemporary culture, mainstream culture, very much today. Today, young people have even sharper minds and faster tools. And there are better examples for them if they choose smartly. If the music and art does not address the problems don't get sung about, and there are fewer notes that ring out to reach out and to and from and for the people if the music dies. But the art can't only be about the fuss and the fight. It must include the positive forward. Let me take my old fart. Can you say fart in the church? Okay, I'll say this. Let me take my bad-winded, nostalgic, we had it better back in the day, rose-colored utopian dream bliss glasses off for a minute. And say today, contemporary, conscious hip-hop to Kurt Cobain, to Bruno Mars, to Adele. From these artists, you can find the most fabulous songs written as well. But you have to be a good student of the culture to occupy in order to realize and garner the lessons learned from that lifelong and wonderful observation of contemporary culture. The details that dangle in view are impossible to miss, but the benefits are immediate. This question, what kind of world do we live in? What does the world, the culture, value, and how does one fit or permit or sit in? That is essential. Every generation has its rights and destiny to assemble its warriors, its battle strategies, its songs. But in that is always a prescription for its sustaining survival, not its end. What we've noticed is the amount of a certain core values and appreciation of consumer connectivity and artistic development has kind of shifted, and the industry invests and promotes a higher number of projects that focus more on empty commercialism, me-ism and mine, more and more mine, and certainly less of and for the mind. We can see and hear a definite shift from these central core values of meaning. No one is saying the world has come to an end, nor that empty commercialism is a new problem. But we are certainly in a different mindset now in terms of what is uni-human defined. We can alter, affect the thinking and the actions of the world communities we live in. We see many examples of proactive creative work that changed people's lives and still do today. But that art, that song, that creative dreamscape was beautiful, it was powerful, it was compelling, and it contained meaning, and it was well-crafted. There was and is a change, both in terms of intentionality of things and the devastating reality and effect on young people today. All of us have seen our political landscapes now poisoned by mistrust and venomous attacks, and we've seen media, movies, TV, and popular culture plummet in terms of content, values, and yet an escalation of irresponsible choices left for the public to scrape through and sort through. And all for the love of money, greed, and the need to get short-lived attention and pointless power. What's palatably apparent is the rise in this as common practice and in the rise of our adapting to it as acceptable and as normative. I don't believe this real is our reality. Like I say, as artists, we must resist. Do you all remember this tune? I want you to, no, this is participation part. I want you to sing this tune for me. It's called Drift Away by Dobie Gray. You remember that? All right, sing it with me. We're going to go to the chorus now. That's the main hook. You ready? Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. Sir, excuse me. I don't see you singing. Listen up. You ready? Here we go. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Once again, everybody, ooh, you all sound good. We all make it quiet. Here we go. And... give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift. Lovely. Boy, that New Hampshire sound just rings in my soul here. And listen to what else he says in this song. And when my mind is free, you know your melody moves me. Guitar coming through to soothe me. You know I believe in your song. Help me along, keeping me strong. This song, for me, is like a thank you letter to the musicians. It's beautiful. We need a healthy meal of rejuvenating social cultural diets. When you see a dancer, everybody, or a poet, or a painter, or a singer, just hug them. Just hug them. That's all. Just hug them, all right? I'll be expecting a lot of hugs after this, all right? Actually, if you want my pop greatest tunes. Would you like to hear those? Okay. How about this one? My number one. It's hard to have a number one, but I'm gonna try.
down and troubled, and you need some love and care, and nothing, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night.
Everybody sing it together, ready? Here we go, everybody, hands up, come on, here we go.
You just call on my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again.
What?
Winter, spring, summer, or fall.
All you have to do? I think if music did that 10% of the day, we'd be in a better situation. It's 10%. Okay. I think music helps us to, we are going to talk about revolution too, because that's very interesting. And the songwriters didn't miss a point on that. And I'd like to introduce you two of the most incredible musicians that I know and dear friends. I mean, two of us here have been doing this for about 30 years together, and we started, by the way, when we were 3 years old. Okay, I just want to tell you. Please welcome to the stage Mr. Jonathan Singleton. All the way from the most fabulous Freedom Point in the world, Philadelphia. And from another fabulous spot in the world, please, Miss Annette Philip from India.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Ooh, I hope someday you will join us, and the world will live.
I think we need a new song to sing today. Very recently, I came to see this arts culture philosophy is quintessentially important. And the reason why it's critically important, in addition to the things we talked about, is because when a young teacher or student reads or learns about Bessie Smith or Woody Guthrie, they will see music meaning in a different way. That might inspire that young person to create the next songs. That tradition that is based on that kind of music and not this vapid, selfish, self-glorifying, titillating puff stuff that drives the market today. In 1969, a very good year, right? Billboard magazine revamped its categories and instituted soul as the overall category for black popular music. As musicologist Portia Mosby pointed out, the soul era was a productive period for Americans. Group cohesion, political activism, and community self-help programs were responses to the messages of the soul singers and the leaders of the Black Power movement. The music created by these artists and for the folks during this era communicated a general philosophy of refusal to accept the undesirable and a determination to create a better future. Soul music, particularly between 1965 and 1975, again represented many things, but soul music can be thought of as the black popular music that accompanied the civil rights era. So tunes like A Change Is Gonna Come, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, one we sang earlier, Respect, A Choice of Colors, To Be Young, Gifted and Black, and McFadden and Whitehead, Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Another central figure in this global rise of music was reggae, and that was moved by and inspired by the social political music of the 1960s was Bob Marley. So he should be counted as global soul. Of the period of the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and in the 90s, this is the kind of cultural relevance that we're talking about. But again, the songs were high inspiration. They were prescription for living, and they were community value imbued. Song was a part of the social message. These are the themes that are prevalent and consistent with the values of the times, which are transmitted through this culture of protest and community love, political activism, and all these things that we talked about. There was Free Jazz by Ornette Coleman, and that also very much met with an ideology of what the society needed to be. Free your mind and your, I won't say, will follow. You remember that? That would be George Clinton. And he said, free your mind and your what? Your behind will follow. And that's not bad. I think we, our kids, we should laugh at that, but I think that was very, very political, very, very astute, that if you free your mind, your body can follow and affect change in the world. We talked a little bit about identity, but now let's talk about this idea of raising in the mind the revolutionary ideas. Revolutionary models or raising ideas in songs like This Machine Kills Fascism, or Times Are Changing, or Spirits in the Material World, or Brown Skin by India Irie, or American Idiot, or White America, or John Lennon's Imagine, are about this kind of raising revolutionary ideas and ideals. Freedom is the most pervasive, seductive, transformative, peopled agency idea next to love that we have in human experience. It is as well the most aesthetically in charge process in all of art. In all areas of creative endeavor, freedom reigns as the highest in terms of creative ideals, even as this relates to the execution of form. Music and arts are about freedom. This idea transcends every period, every generation, styles, and is the very special charge we have that arts are asked to address. Freedom, then, is a revolutionary idea because it allows the mind to see possibility, changes, new ways of seeing, and new ideas for determining codes for how people want to live in the world. People have always sang new ideas through music. You say, so what then? We've heard all this, you've talked about this for an hour, but I think it may well be a way to see tiny revolutions in our own current human predicaments and personal relations. I've always believed, as utopia or as idealistic as this may sound, that it is our arts and our songs if they were able to be more productive and modeling a vibrant world order, our society would clearly be on its dream values to be all it aspires to be. Amiri Baraka, who is a credible thinker and cultural critic and was a mentor of mine who just passed, we were actually writing a book together, and he passed just a few months ago, and we're very, very sad, and the world has lost Amiri Baraka. But he would always ask, what do the people want and what do they value? He would argue from his 1984 autobiography that the music itself, rapid motion during this period, put John Coltrane into a music so expressive and so thrilling that people tuned into him. The reaching, the certain dimensions where the people themselves were going, they are the harbingers or the reflectors of this same life development. He said, we followed John Coltrane, our own teaching for a new definition. We heard our own searches, our travels, our reaching for new definition. Train was our flag. But there were other younger forces too, and this added other elements to the music. Ornette, Cecil, Oliver, Nelson, Eric Dolphy. He said there was a newness, a defiance laid out in their music politically and creatively. It was all connected. It was as if the music was leading us. This theme helps us to frame how to view and to value contemporary impulses. And that includes grunge, hip-hop, which are the two ideal aesthetic movements today that are still in play. A conceptual view of all this is that they are popular cultural movements, and they have icons, and they represent and give us deeper and better relational view into the times we are living. You ever wonder or feel what these young people are thinking about? I know you do. Just listen deeply for a close read of the music. All the codes are there. The slang, the swag, the worldview, the complaint, the aspirations, the cultural rubs, the triumphs, the testimonials, the tragedies, and the potential keys to changing the world. It's all there in the music. But you have to do the archaeology, friends. You have to look at the dowels. You have to look at the tools, the clothes, the bones left behind by the culture that had been living there to find the treasure to understanding and valuing the human dramas that are and will be lived out. So in closing, what am I trying to say? Just give peace a chance or try. I just believe in the piano man. I just want us to again sing a song, celebrate, have a holiday, or I'm just trying to change the world one sequin at a time. So says contemporary singer Lady Gaga, who has become this generation's pop rock rah-rah queen. It's as if Lady Gaga was saying, I'm doing my work by a different measurement, a sequin, and one of those a day, and that different way is my social consciousness. That doesn't spin any different than Dylan's The Times Are Changing or the Fugees asking, how many mics do we rip on the deli? Me without a mic is like me without a snare. That was your hip-hop moment, by the way, okay? Seems the messages still come, but the symbols have just shifted, yet the songs still ring with things that have meaning and are relevant. These ideas are not happenstance. These ideas are discussed among creative and industry people. Things that we're talking about today are not random, lightweight, they carry significance. Popular culture is no fluff ball or enterprise. It is cognitive construction and an endeavor that has huge implications for how we define the very fabric of our society or how it stands up or how it fails or how it will fall. Two, the landscape is different today and who constructs and shapes that is different. Hollywood. And the market drawers paint a constructed highway to our commercial dependency and destiny, one commercial at a time, but digested hundreds of times a day in multiple ways to millions every second. So it's difficult, but we must fight for the higher ground. Thank you, Stevie Wonder. It is this sensitivity to song and art in our times, shared by artists, that I hope allow us to continue to listen clearly and reflect deeper our humanness. Last sentence, tape back on. In this way, the culture carriers and the social system we all participate within in this mix comes closer to sing in touch with our important human codes of values, love, connectedness, hearing each other and living in our world to contribute to its powerful and positive dynamics and changes. That's the song I hope we can hear and turn the volume on. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.